Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Okay, we're going to begin at verse 14. Verse 14 begins, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." You know, I've been preaching for nearly 20 years. And I have preached this story about every which way I know to preach it. And just when you think you got everything covered, the Lord can show you something fresh. The Lord can show you something new, show you something that just ignites the story again in your heart. And so this morning, I just want to preach to you this message: the one thing impossible for Jesus to do. The one thing impossible for Jesus to do. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this story. And I thank you for everything, Lord, that it speaks into our lives as your people, God. Lord, I thank you that we can read a familiar story 100 times, 200 times, 300 times. But God, there's always something truth to see God. Father, I believe one verse in the Bible is fathomless. God, we could live 1,000 years with just one verse. And there's always something of truth to see, something new, something we've never seen before. And I thank you, Lord, God, that your ways are past finding out, and your judgments and truths are unsearchable, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak very clearly to our hearts today what it is that you placed in my heart. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I told you this morning that the title for my message is "The One Thing That Is Impossible for Jesus to Do." And I can already hear some questions in some of your minds. You know, Pastor Tim, I thought Jesus could do everything. You know, Pastor Tim, I thought nothing is impossible with God. I thought what is impossible with man is possible with God. And you are telling me there is something that Jesus cannot do. Beloved, that's exactly right. I am telling you there is something that it is impossible for him to do. Well, Pastor Tim, I don't want to doubt your word, especially since the sermon just started. So can you please tell me what it is that he cannot do? I will be happy to do that. I want you to look with me at verse 15. It says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.'" So, beloved, when you look at verse 15, what did the disciples just tell Jesus to do? What did they just tell him to do? Here's what they told him to do: send hungry people away from your presence, hungry. Now, capture that. Jesus, you need to send hungry people that is in your presence away hungry. And beloved, I'm telling you, that is one thing that is impossible for him to do. Send hungry people away hungry. You see, that goes against his heart. That goes against his nature. That goes against his will. It is impossible for him to send people away hungry. And so my question to you this morning is, what is your heart hungry for? What is your heart hungry for? You know, in those intimate times in his presence, when his presence begins to stir in your life, what are those things that you are hungry for? You know, in my walk with God, I have found something out. And what I found is this. There are just times when his presence comes and stirs in your life, whether it's in a church service, whether it's in your private devotional, or whether it's just driving down the street in your car, when his presence suddenly comes, maybe unexpectedly comes, and just really begins to stir in your life, oftentimes there's a hunger that comes as a result of the stirring of God. When you're in those times with God and his presence begins to stir in your heart, it's so natural for something to rise up in the heart and say, God, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. So the question is, what are you hungry for this morning? In those intimate times when it's just you and God meeting heart to heart and suddenly his presence just begins stirring in your life, what are those things that you find yourself hungry for? Do you find yourself hungry for more of Jesus? Do you find yourself hungry for a deeper place of intimacy? Do you find yourself hungry for a deeper place of faith? Are you hungry for change? Are you hungry to be transformed? Are you hungry to experience a deeper place of freedom in your life? Beloved, what I'm saying this morning is when there is a hunger in our heart, it's impossible for Jesus to send people away without ministering to that place of hunger. Now, I want to go back to the story, and I want to ask the question, why did the disciples tell Jesus to send the people away hungry? Why did they tell him to do that? Well, look with me at verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place." Now just stop there. So they come to Jesus and they say, "This is a desert place." In other words, they're saying to Jesus, "Jesus, look around you. Everything is dry. Everything is dead. Everything is lifeless. There is no life here. Jesus, you can't feed hungry people in a place where there's nothing to give them. I mean, we're here in a desert place. There's no life here. It's dry. It's desert. And if you don't got anything to feed the people with, what are you going to feed them with? Jesus, you need to tell the people to depart. You need to send them away." And beloved, I think at one time or another, I think all of us know a time when we are hungry and yet we're confronted by our own barrenness. A time in our life when we're hungry but we're confronted by our place of captivity. Those places in our life where we still feel captivated. You know, we can't escape it. These places are always before our heart. These places are always before our face. I'm talking about those places where we just continually struggle in. Those places that we feel like we continually fail in. Those places where we feel like we are always falling short in. You know, those places in our life that we can say, it seems like no matter how hard I try, I always seem defeated. And when places of captivity and barrenness are always staring you in the face, a remorse can come in the heart that says, what right do I have to ask for more? What right do I have to desire more? You know, with this place in my life where it seems like I'm always falling short, this place in my life where it seems like I just can't come into the victory and I'm so captivated, what right do I have to desire more? Jesus, what right do I have the desire to go to a deeper place of intimacy in you when I'm just at this place of captivity, I just can't seem to go around? I can't seem to conquer. What right do I desire to hunger to be used by God more than I've ever been used before? What right do I have when this place of captivity is always staring me in the face? What right do I have? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Talk to me. I've been there. I've been there with a hunger in my heart to go deeper in God, in my relationship with God, more than I've ever had. But yet that one place of captivity, that one place where I struggle, that one place where I'm always falling short, is just always in my face. And I'm saying, Lord, this just seems to be a place where it just seems to be no life here. There seems to be no freedom here. There seems to be no victory here. What right do I have to ask you to take me deeper in you? But beloved, I truly believe the Lord would have me say this morning, it's your hunger that gives you the right to ask for more. In spite of places of captivity, in spite of places where it just seems like I'm always defeated, if you have a hunger in your heart, it's the hunger that gives you the right to ask for more. Because I believe with all my heart it was God that put the hunger in your heart in the first place. How do I know that? It's God who works in me both to will, that's the desire, to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. You know, I'm reminded of Hannah this morning. Hannah was an aged woman who was very barren. She was barren for many years. She had no child. And she hungered in her heart to have a child. For many years she hungered in her heart to have a child. And beloved, the question I want to ask you is this. Do you know what Hannah's name means? Hannah in the Old Testament, it's the Old Testament word for grace. Grace. So here's a woman who's called by the name of Grace. That is her name. Your name is Grace. But what I want us to understand is even though she was under the name of Grace, there was still a deep place of barrenness in her life. And so when Hannah desired to have a child, it represents something in the heart that says, you know what? I just don't want to be called by the name of Grace. I want to see the power of grace working in my life. And who does Hannah represent today? Hannah represents Christians that have a hunger in their heart. I just don't want to be called by grace. I just don't want to be under the name of grace. I don't want to be under the title of grace. I want to see the power of grace working in my life. Hannah represents Christians that can say, listen, there are a lot of people in the church who say, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. But you see no change taking place in their life. There's so many people in the church that, you know, they call themselves by the name of grace, but there is no desire in their heart for fruit. I don't want that. I don't want to just be called by the name of grace. I want to see its power in my life. I want to see it have the power to produce life in places where I feel so lifeless. I want to see it produce victory in places where I just don't seem to have victory. I don't just want the name, I want the revelation of its power. Beloved, if you're hungry today, God put this hunger in your heart because He wants you to ask for more. In spite of your desert places, in spite of your captivated places, God is saying, I want you to ask for more of Jesus. I want you to ask for more change. I want you to ask for more freedom. I want you to ask to be used greater than you've ever been used in your life. I want you to see the tremendous wonder-working power of my grace working in your life greater than you've ever seen it before. If you're hungry, ask. If you're hungry, ask. In your desert places, ask. In places where captivity is staring you in the face, don't let your captivity stop you from asking. Ask. So, beloved, what desert place are you hungry to see God fill? What places of barrenness, what places of captivity are you hungry to see God fill? What are those areas in your life that no matter how hard you try, you're always left feeling defeated? God is saying, in these desert places, in these strengthless places, in these captivated places, if there is truly a hunger in your heart to see these places filled, don't be afraid to ask me. Don't be afraid to believe that I can fill these places with life and power. I will not send you away hungry in your desert places. It's impossible for me to do so. Beloved, do you want to know how you can know your breakthrough is coming? Do you want to know how you can know your deliverance is coming? Because these desert places, these captivated places, haven't been able to overpower your hunger. There may be places in your life that have been in the desert for a long time, and I want you to capture that and listen to that. There may be places in your life that has been in the desert for a long time. There may be places in your life that they've been in the desert for a long time, but yet you're just as hungry for deliverance, as freedom, as ever. And just the fact that the hunger is still there, freedom is coming. God is going to fill that place of hunger with something of life. Pastor Jim, this has been a place of captivity in my life for a long time. Yes, but it hasn't overcome your hunger. I'm still hungry for the freedom. I'm still hungry to see the breakthrough here. And God says, that is your evidence that is coming. Because it hasn't been able to overpower and overwhelm your hunger. If you're hungry, I will fill this place. Don't be afraid to ask again. I've already asked 100 times. Well, ask 101 times. If you're still hungry, that is the evidence. Breakthrough is coming. Amen. You know, I did a research once on what makes lions afraid. Not very much makes lions afraid. So I went on the internet and asked the experts, what makes lions afraid? And all the experts say the same thing. Lions are afraid when something stronger is about to take away their prey. And not only are lions afraid when something stronger is going to take away their prey, but that's when they roar the loudest. Lions roar the loudest when they're afraid. And I believe there are people here, the enemy has never roared so loud in your mind as he's roaring right now. Never before have you heard the enemy say so loud in your mind, you'll never be free of this. Right now the enemy is roaring so loud in your mind, you're always going to be defeated by this. It's never been so loud. But I want to tell you why he's roaring so loud. Because he's never been as afraid as he is now that Jesus is coming to set you free. And God is saying, in your desert places, in your captivated places, if you're still hungry, ask. Ask. Now going back to the question, why did the disciples tell Jesus to send the people away hungry? Look with me at verse 15 again. It says, and when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. So they said, this is a desert place, but they didn't just say it's a desert place. They said, and the time is now past. In other words, they're saying, Jesus, they should have already departed to find provision. To be truthful with you, Jesus, it's going to be very dark soon, and it's too late for them to go and get something to eat. It's really past time, Jesus. And beloved, can I just ask you a question? Is there a place in your life where you feel like you've missed God's timing? or his best timing? Is there a place in your heart where you can say to yourself, there is something I'm so hungry for, but the time is past. I miss God's timing, or I missed his best timing. Let me just give you some examples that I've seen over the years. You know, I've met a few people who got saved after their kids were grown and gone. And there's a remorse in their heart. And their remorse is simply this. Listen, when your children are children, that's when they're most moldable. When your children are children, that's when they're most fashionable. And because I gave my life to Jesus so late in life, I've missed that most impactful time in their life to give them Jesus. I've missed that most moldable time to give them Jesus. Oh, sure, I can still be a witness to my children and, you know, have some impact in their life. But that time when they were most moldable, I missed that time. The time is past. You know, I have met Christian people who were saved very late in life, and there's a regret in their heart that says, I would greatly love to be used by God, but that time is past. My body isn't what it used to be. My strength isn't what it used to be. It isn't what it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Oh, I'm sure there are things I can do, but to really be impacted for God, the time is past because I have so little strength to give him. You know, I've met Christian people who grew up in church, participated in church, didn't have a life of gross sin, but at the same time, never truly gave everything to the Lord. And now that they have finally surrendered and put Christ first in their life, there's a regret in their heart that says, I've wasted so much time playing church. I missed so many opportunities to truly know God and be used by God. I wasted so much time on myself trying to make myself happy. And now that time has passed, those opportunities are gone, and I'll never get that time back. And I've met believers who feel this way. There are just areas in my heart that should have been dealt with already. There's areas in my heart and life that should have experienced freedom and change by now. And for whatever reason, it's my own fault they haven't. Now the time for real change is past. While I was out doing my own thing, God passed me by to find a heart that was truly given to him. And now the change I hunger for now, I see so clearly in someone else's life. That could have just been me if I had just been serious about the Lord. Beloved, when it comes to feeling like I miss God's timing or I missed God's best timing, them are just some areas where I have seen Christians have a remorseful heart in. I've missed his best timing. Oh, sure, there's things that he can do, but I've missed his best timing. And they live with that. But here's what I feel the Lord would have me say. In spite of our desert places, in spite of our places of barrenness and captivity, and in spite of it being past time, it being too late, God can feel the hungry places in our heart. And why can he feel the hungry places in his heart? Because there's a power that's greater than these things. There's a power that's greater than my captivated places. There's a power greater than those places where I feel like it's just too late to have his best. There's a power greater than that. Well, Pastor Tim, what is his power? Look with me at verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave. And there's just one little word in there that jumps out at me, and it's the word broke. He took the loaves and he broke the loaves. So here's the answer to the question. Pastor Tim, what is the power that's greater than these things? And the answer is the cross. The power that's greater than these things is the cross. You see, I'm reminded of a time later when Jesus would pick up bread and break it and say, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And I truly believe the Lord is looking for a people today to one more time come to the foot of the cross and say, "God, I still have places in my life that seem barren. I still have places in my life that seem captivated. But in spite of these desert places, I am still hungry. And there are places where it seems like I missed your timing or your best timing. But in spite of it, I'm still hungry. And I bring my hunger to the cross, trusting there is a power greater than these things that can fill my hunger." That's what God's looking for today. A hungry people. It says, "God, I've been in your presence. And I have found out when your presence stirs in my heart, it often comes with a hunger for something. God, I'm hungry for something. And God, I'm coming to that cross. I know I still have desert places, barren places, lifeless places, places where it just seems like I can't get victory. And I know I have those places, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm still hungry. And God, I believe the one thing that is more powerful than any of these things is the cross." And this is Jesus' response. "This is my desire. That in spite of these things, you bring your hunger to me and ask me to fill these places of hunger." And God says, "And you want to know when you come, you want to know what you're going to find? Let me show you what you're going to find." Look at verse 20. It says, "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." Beloved, do you know what God is speaking in this? God is saying this. When you have a hungry heart, I don't just fill it. I abundantly fill it. When you have a hungry heart. "Ma'am, your most powerful time to mold your children for Christ has not passed. They may be grown and gone, but God can put his hand upon your life and abundantly fill that hunger to impact your children for Christ. Sir, your strength may not be what it once was, but if God can use an 80-year-old man to lift up a stick and deliver his people out of Egypt, God can give you the strength to lift up the cross on the mission field or anywhere else he chooses and deliver people from Satan. Beloved in Christ, in man's strength, it may be past time. But in God's strength, it's never too late to fulfill the destiny he has for your life. In one moment, he can perform in and through your life what man's strength could not accomplish in a lifetime. And the Lord is saying today, if you are hungry, come, I am ready to overfill your basket." So what are you hungry for? I want a deeper place in Jesus. I want to go to a place of intimacy with God I've never been before. "Pastor Tim, I'm so hungry to be used by God. So hungry to be used in a greater way by God. Pastor Tim, I'm hungry to go to a deeper place of faith. I'm hungry to see change in my life. I'm hungry to be transformed. I'm hungry to know freedom in such a deeper way. I'm just hungry for it." And God is saying this morning, what you will find at the foot of the cross is a power that can fill your hunger. But what about this place of captivity? What about it? But what about this place that I've fallen so short in again? What about it? The cross, there's a power that's greater than these things. And in spite of these things, I can feel your hunger at the same time while I'm dealing with these things. So if you're hungry, come. Because I'm ready to fill your basket to overflowing. Amen. So what are you hungry for? Stand with me this morning. This is my altar call this morning. I believe there are people here with a secret prayer in your heart. And that prayer is this: God, I still have places in my life that seem barren and captivated. But in spite of these desert places, I'm still hungry. And there are places where it seems like I missed your timing or your best timing. But in spite of these, I am still hungry. And I bring my hunger to the cross, trusting there is a power greater than these things that can fill this hunger. I just want you to come this morning, and I want you to believe that God is greater than these things and can fill these places of hunger. Listen, don't let your desert places stop you from asking for a deeper intimacy. Don't let these desert places stop you from asking to be used by God in a greater way. Don't let your desert places stop you from asking for more change, for more freedom. God is greater than your desert places, and He can fill these desert places to overflowing. So if there's anybody here that says, Pastor Tim, that's me. That's me. But in spite of these things, I'm still hungry. And there's a faith in my heart that just won't let me get away from the fact that the cross is stronger than all these things. And I'm not going to let these captivated places, barren places, stop me from asking God to fill my hunger. Because He said, blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst for the things of God, because you shall be filled. Amen. So now let's just ask. As the musicians play, let's just tell the Lord, Lord, yeah, I still have places that seem barren, places that seem captivated, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm hungry. And would you just come in your time, in your way, would you just come and minister to my hunger? And overfill my basket. Amen. Just you and the Lord now. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to Him. Lord, I thank you that God, in spite of our desert places, barren places, captivated places, Lord, you still call us to the cross, believing in a power that's greater than these things, God. Father, so often we can be so hungry for things and yet be so discouraged by the places in our life where it just seems like no matter how hard we try, we just can't experience the fullness of victory, God. And God, I thank you that in spite of these places, you've called us to bring our hunger to you, Lord. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you don't just feel that hunger, Lord, you feel it to overflowing, Lord. And God, I thank you that in spite of these desert places, Lord, these desert places haven't been able to overpower the hunger in our hearts, hasn't been able to snuff out the hunger in our hearts. God, you put a hunger in our hearts. God, you're going to feel that hunger. Lord, I'm asking for everyone that came saying, I just want more of Jesus. I pray you'd give them more of Jesus. those that have come saying, God, I'm so hungry for a deeper place in God. Lord, I pray you'd not only feel that hunger, you would overflow that basket. God, those that have come saying, God, I've never been so hungry for freedom. God, I pray that you'd send them out of here, God, with a basket that's beginning to overfill, God. Lord, I feel like there's been people and there's been certain areas in their life, they've been in a desert for a long time. But Lord, would you encourage them that Samuel is coming. Hannah hungered for that child. She hungered for life. And God, there was a day that it came. And God, though the enemy may be roaring in their mind louder than ever, would you put an assurance in their heart? Breakthrough and victory has never been so close. And that's why the enemy is roaring so loud, because he's afraid. I thank you for that, God. I thank you for the hope and the confidence and the strength of your word today, God. And your glorious presence in our worship today. Beloved, if you want to stay at the altar longer, please feel free. Everybody else, if you'll just stand, I'll dismiss in prayer. And Caitlin, or we could just play for just a few minutes longer if anyone does want to stay. Lord, we thank you for this service from beginning to end. Holy Spirit, your touch has been on this service. I thank you for that very deep place of worship this morning. In my life, God, I felt like in worship I drank something deep from your cup, and I thank you for that. Just thank you for the encouragement and the power of your word today. And God, as we go, would you just keep us hungry? God, those intimate times in your presence, God, would you just stir our hunger and stir our faith to believe that you can feel that hunger? Lord, we thank you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you today.